If you pull something out of the freezer for dinner tonight, raise a fork to Clarence Birdseye. Nearly 90 years ago, he introduced a flash freezing system that made him the father of the frozen food industry. But he didn't start out that way. Many of today's largest companies were founded on a shoestring and an idea. Today, our host, Kingdom Advisors President Rob West, shares stories of small businesses that got big. Today's program is pre-recorded, but we pre-recorded some calls as well, and we'll be talking to them, so stick around for that. I'm Steve Moore, inspiring the entrepreneur in you. That's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Rob, this isn't a how-to segment on starting a business. It's really more of a fun topic to encourage folks who might be thinking about starting a business but haven't yet pulled the trigger, right?
That's exactly right. And the main point we want to stress is that the people we'll talk about had a lot more dreams than money. Now, not everyone's an entrepreneur. I think that's really a special breed. They have God-given skills, interests, and ideas, and often they just need a little bit of encouragement. Now, there's a couple of verses that come to mind on this. Of course, Ephesians 2:10 would be one, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then, of course, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows.
Okay. So something we believe, our talent comes from God. Let's dive into this list we have. We mentioned Clarence Birdseye. What's his story?
Good old Birdseye. Well, he was from New York, and growing up, he was always fascinated by science, but he had to drop out of college, probably for financial reasons. This was around the turn of the 20th century. He took a job as a fur trader in Canada, if you can believe it. Wow. There he saw native people fast freezing fish outside on the ice in 40 below zero temperatures. Later, when cooked, the fish seemed almost fresh. Now, this was a much better result than the slow freezing techniques then in use that damaged foods. Well, Birdseye, as you might imagine, came back to the States with an idea that would revolutionize the food industry, but he had no money to start a company. Well, that didn't stop him, of course. He convinced a number of investors to back his idea and still took a lot of hard work to convince Americans that flash freezing worked, but it eventually caught on, and the result is in your and my freezers today.
Wow. What a story. Cool? So a broke fur trapper becomes a frozen food giant. Another one.
Well, maybe the most famous of all is Henry Ford. He didn't invent the automobile, as some people think. In fact, he couldn't even afford one, and that may have inspired him to look for cheaper ways to produce cars. You know the story. His answer was the automobile assembly line, which made cars affordable for millions of people. But again, he lacked the money to make it happen, so he convinced others to put up the $28,000 it took to get the Ford Motor Company off the ground.
And that's incredible. And that's incredible, especially when you think that $28,000 is just about what a Ford F-150 truck costs today. Okay, what else do you have?
Well, let's see. Sticking with the automotive industry, in 1901, William Harley and Arthur Davidson designed and built a motor for bicycles in a wooden shed. You know the story, Steve. 2 years later, they built their first full-blown motorcycle for racing, and that's how the Harley-Davidson company started out and is still selling around 250,000 motorcycles a year despite strong worldwide competition.
Okay. I see time's getting the better of us. Let's jump down the list, Rob, to a man we all pretty much know his name, Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. What do you have for us?
Well, he had the brilliant idea for a type of store that would cater to underserved rural markets. But of course, he had no money, a common theme here. So to put up his first store, Walton had to take out a $20,000 loan from his father-in-law. You can only imagine his relief when he paid that back.
Wow. So these are great rags to riches stories, and frankly, America is chock full of them. Can you put a bow on this for us?
Well, if you've dreamed of starting a business, money is certainly important, but a good idea is probably even more important. So don't be afraid to start small. Remember, Zechariah tells us, don't despise small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Some of the biggest names in business have started out with less than you have in your bank account right now. So avoid borrowing and don't quit your day job for as long as you can. Try to do it on the side.
Great information, Rob. Thanks so much. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Find us on the web at moneywiselive.org. But today we're not live, so if you hear that phone number, please don't call, but do stick around. Lots of good information ahead.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
What's in a name? Would you believe a girl named Rode a Bike? How about Cheers Boozer? A retired policeman has a collection of strange names, every one of which he says is a real name he came across on duty. Names like Rockpile, Cherry Pits, and Billy Club. Perhaps the downside of modern technology and electronic communication is a loss of personal identity. In some places, we are better known by a number than by our name. It is also more common in a world of over 7 billion people to feel all alone. But the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you and offers you eternal life. He knows your name and why he created you. If you would like to know how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Don't forget, you can find us online when you visit MoneyWiseLive.org, MoneyWiseLive.org. That's also where you can make a gift or a donation if you kindly consider that. We certainly would appreciate it, especially at this time of year. Just click the Donate tab right at the top, MoneyWiseLive.org. Let me get my brain in gear here, and we go to Chicago, Illinois. Victoria, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Okay, so we had quite a bit of money in 2008, and my husband at that time decided to self-direct or cash in some of it and have a self-directed IRA. That what he invested in, they went belly up. And we got a check from a settlement fund concerning that amount of money that we gifted. And I think it should go into our 401k. He has one for his business, and we have another one that's with an investment company so that we don't have to pay taxes on it. He makes about $120,000 a year for the last few years. And he wants to cash it and put it with some other money that we have and buy it's some kind of paper for silver. And he showed me the website. It was a Florida person that had developed the website, and I was not impressed. And I don't think if you're going to buy silver, I think you should buy it and put it in our safe, which we have, not buy a piece of paper, because I don't see much difference in that than what he did when he invested with this company that lost all our money.
Yeah. Well, Victoria, I certainly understand the situation that you're in. I'm sorry to hear about what happened. Just for the benefit of our audience, a self-directed IRA is just a form of an IRA where you can invest it in non-traditional investments, including real estate, where as long as you have a self-directed IRA with a self-directed IRA custodian who can set that up for you, you can take IRA money and put it into income-generating real estate. In this case, the real estate project failed. I'm glad to hear you got a settlement. I would be more inclined to go the direction you're talking about, just because I think when we look at both the tax side and the investment side, deferring the taxes is, in my view, always going to be the better option. Your 401k administrator may or may not allow you to make that deposit into the 401k. If they do, great. If they don't, you'd have to put it into a traditional IRA. Just make sure you coordinate with your CPA to get it in time so that it's not considered a taxable distribution since the check came to you, and make sure you have documentation of that. Secondly, as it relates to the investments, I just like to stay really simple. You know, if you have trouble explaining it, I pass on it. And I think, you know, when I look historically at what has done the best and has been most consistent with the least amount of risk over the last 100 years, it's just plain old vanilla stock and bond investing. The great news is today it's lower cost than it's ever been because you can buy the market, so to speak, through an ETF portfolio where you would own a good cross-section of the stock market, both domestic and international, large cap and small cap, emerging markets, developing markets, short-term and long-term bonds. You can get a really well-diversified portfolio without spending a lot of money, and you'll just track the overall growth of the market, which has done better historically than precious metals, especially when you don't actually have the metal and you're investing in a company that's issuing paper. And then we get into all kinds of complexity and who are they and are they sound and are they still going to be around down the road and all of these kinds of issues. So I'd stay really simple. I know it's not flashy, but it's time tested. So I would get it right back into a retirement account, either an IRA or a 401k, and I'd plow it right back into the stock market in a way and with a portfolio that reflects appropriately your risk, goals, and objectives. But that's just my two cents on it. Victoria, tell me your thoughts, though.
So can you put it into a Roth IRA?
You would have to go into a traditional IRA and then do a Roth IRA conversion, would be the way you would do that. And when you do the conversion, then it becomes taxable to you. So you would realize that as income for the year, and then it would be in a Roth IRA at that point, and you could deploy it as you see fit. And then any of the gains that you realize in that between now and when you take it out in retirement would be tax-free growth.
Okay. Thank you so much. I listen to you guys all the time. You're wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria. God bless you. Appreciate you listening.
Thanks so much, Victoria. Let's stay in Chicago and say hi to Al right now.
Hi, Al. Thanks for calling and holding today. This is MoneyWise Live. Go right ahead.
Yes. So I'm in my 60s. We've been paying for a life insurance plan for about 20 years, and suddenly we were notified that if we would like to continue with that plan, our premium will be 9 times higher than it was.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Well, you probably have level term insurance, which means you have a term policy, meaning the premium stays the same during the term of the policy, 10, 20, or 30 years. When you reach that term, it increases dramatically, but it's never intended to be kept beyond that. You would drop it. Because either A, it satisfied the need that you had, meaning you no longer have to insure against a loss of an income because you're in retirement and you've already done your saving, and therefore there's no potential hardship placed on a surviving spouse or another family member at your death, or because you're going to replace it with a new term policy of 10, 20, or 30 years. Can you buy a term policy in your 60s? Absolutely. It's going to be more expensive than when you bought it perhaps 20 years ago, but this may be the time where you get a new 10-year policy. Hopefully you're in good health and, you know, you buy the amount that you need, hopefully less than you needed years ago because you've been saving throughout your working years. But the key is you don't want to pay nine times what you were paying. That was never the intention behind this particular product that you have. So I think at this point you have to ask yourself the first question, do I still need life insurance? At my death, is there somebody that's going to have a loss of an income or an additional financial burden because of my death, namely because you're still working, and therefore that income would go away? And if the answer is yes, then you probably need another policy for that period of time while you're still working and saving. If the answer is no, then you could drop the policy and you no longer have a need for insurance, which would hopefully be the goal that we get to retirement and we don't need death insurance or what's called really life insurance because we're essentially self-insured. So we have just a couple of minutes left. Tell me your thoughts on that. React to what I'm saying.
I have two teenage children and my wife, and so where would be the best place to shop for life insurance? And I guess it would be term life insurance at this point.
That's a good question. I would connect with an insurance agent who can really shop this among a lot of the term life insurance companies. The reason I would shop it is you can do it online, and there's plenty of online quoting engines out there, and there's a way to check the strength of the company through their AM Best rating and other places. So you could check online, but if either at your church or through the referral of a certified Kingdom advisor there in Chicago, and you'd find a CKA by going to MoneyWise.com. Live.org, click on Find a CKA, and then ask for a referral to a godly insurance specialist, or we do have CKAs who are insurance folks as well. The reason you do that is oftentimes, depending upon your health and if you have any medical conditions, one company may view that differently than another. If you have high blood pressure, one company may rate that a substandard health risk. Another company may not treat it that way and may look at it more favorably and any number of other conditions. So I think that's why it's important to look at not only the strength of the company, but which company is going to give me the best rate based on who I am, my height and weight and health status and all of these things. And so that's why you'd want to shop it around, because as long as you have a good, strong company, we want to get you the lowest premium possible. So I would either contact an insurance agent, or maybe I should say, and you could certainly do some digging online just to get some comparable rates so you have something to base it against once that recommendation is made.
Al, we hope that information helps you. Thank you very much. We do appreciate your phone call today. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Rob, I haven't asked permission, and I guess I'm just going to have to apologize later afterwards, but you mentioned weight, and I know you've been on one of those keto diets, and you're doing great, aren't you? You've lost a couple of pounds.
I have, Steve. Yeah. And yeah. I don't mind you asking. I've actually lost 20 pounds on
that's
keto.
Amazing.
It may not be the right thing for everybody. It works for me. And so why not? Right.
Well, you look fantastic. And you're going to have to give me new sizes now for Christmas, because I think the sizes I had from last year are probably not apropos any longer. But nice to see you healthy. Hey, we have to pause here for a brief break. You're listening to MoneyWise Live, and we'll be back to chat some more right after this.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
God's love is always effective. The very fact that it exists causes it to have effects. Now, we could let it have a whole lot more effect than it has if we'd abide in it. Said, all you have to do is live in it. That was John chapter 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what's he talking about? Living in a constant state of mind that we are loved by God. And no matter what happens, can you know above all things that there may be a dozen things you really don't know right now, but do you know above all things that God loves you? That's the kind of knowing this is. You can't take the love out of this kind of knowing when it comes from God to man. I love that Linsky calls it affectionate effectiveness. Glory to God. God knows you with affectionate effectiveness. Just try that on somebody this week that you're just trying to express the love of God. Do you know that God loves you with affectionate effectiveness? I mean, that's one of those kind of things you could just chew on all week in your quiet time. What does that mean? Why don't you ask him? That his affection for you would have effect in you this week. It'd be effective in me this week. That I'd live out of that. That it'd come out in me. That it would have its effect. That is a powerful thing.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's quick word. Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Good to have you along today. This is MoneyWise Live with Rob West, chatting with people from coast to coast. And let's continue. Well, we'll go to the South Coast, if you will, down to Miami, Florida. Ron, you are a trooper for hanging in there as long as you've been on hold. We appreciate that. So let's take it apart. How can we help you? What's your situation?
Hey, Rob. Thank you. I spoke with you guys, maybe a couple of years ago, and you advised us about borrowing for our own business, told us to keep it at a minimum. We've done that. It's working out. Thank you for that advice. That worked well. Now, my wife and I are 67 and 63, and we got started financing very late in life because we did volunteer work for many years. It's kind of crazy. Long story. Don't need to get into it. But now we find ourselves getting older. Our strength, of course, is diminishing. We have our transportation business. It's going well. Every year it's going a little better. But we are looking for ways to go forward, bring our expenses down to a place where we wouldn't have to be working so hard to maintain a decent lifestyle. It's extremely hard to put money away. Our giving and saving is our priority every month. But, you know, it's tough to put money away. We do have a little emergency fund, but that's about it. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about. We're thinking about maybe renting or buying some senior housing as soon as we possibly can and going on from there. So just wanted your feedback or ideas on that.
Yeah. Well, I think the focus here needs to be on, number one, having a plan. And to the best of your ability, understand how long you anticipate working, keeping your lifestyle at a minimum, trying to completely eliminate debt if you haven't already, which reduces the amount that you'd need on a monthly basis, and then determine what those living expenses are going to be, both, of course, now as you manage them day to day and month to month, but also in the future, and what sources of income you'll have available. Will you expect to have enough credits for Social Security?
I get a little bit of Social Security every month, and my wife is getting a little bit of my benefit as well. It's not going to be a whole lot. We're trusting the Lord. We know that the Lord has us in His hands. We have kids, we have businesses, and you know, one has expressed the desire to help us out as he can. He hasn't hit anything big yet, but I think eventually he will. But we do know that we can trust the Lord to take care of us as long as we're doing everything we can.
I think that's right. And the good news is God's word gives us plenty of principles that we can apply to this situation. We need to recognize he is your provider and no one else. I think we also need to recognize that you need to live well within your means. We need to pursue a life of contentment. But we also recognize we should enjoy what he's given us. And I suspect you are well aware that the Lord has blessed you with much. I think as you look forward here, Ron, certainly we're grateful for the work that you have now. It sounds like the business is doing well. I think anything you can do to save for the future, keep your lifestyle in check at a minimum, and continue to put away resources for however long the Lord allows you to continue to work will be key. Doing that in a tax-deferred environment is always helpful. And, you know, I think if you have focused on things like renting to keep free from debt, there's nothing wrong with continuing to do that into the future. So I would just stay on this track and recognize the more margin you can free up to put aside, the better off you're going to be down the road as you continue to build up some assets. And Lord willing, if he tarries and your health is good, you could work for another 10 or 15 years as you continue to set some money aside and not have to rely on Social Security or any other means to fund your expenses. So I realize it seems like a daunting task, and yet I know the Lord had you doing some other things outside the U.S. for a long period of time. So I think you just need to focus on honoring him as a steward of what he's entrusted to you now and being diligent and faithful to set aside what you can.
Ron, does that help a little bit? We're almost out of time here, but I want to make sure we touch on all your important areas.
Yes, I wrote down the main points that you shared with me. Thank you very much.
All right, Ron. Thank you.
God bless you, Ron. Nice to hear from someone. He and his wife have volunteered for over 20 years in South America is what my screen is telling me. So God bless them for their help and their generosity, and I trust that God will continue to bless them to meet their needs going forward. All right. Well, speaking of help and going forward, Rob, we're thinking about the future of this broadcast always and how important it is for our listeners to help out and support, because that's what got us here in the first place. Any thoughts in that regard?
Well, I would just simply say, if you count on this program each and every day, you consider yourself a part of the MoneyWise Live family, there's an opportunity for you to join us. We want you to engage in the program. We're grateful for your prayers, but we would also invite you to partner with us. We are listener-supported, and so if you would prayerfully consider your part and then visit MoneyWiseLive.org by clicking the donate button when you get there, whether you want to partner with us monthly or one time, whatever that looks like for you, we would just invite you to be a part of that community so we can keep this broadcast and our ministry offerings on the air each and every day.
And again, our website, moneywiselive.org. Just click the donate tab. And with that, we'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Aaron, production assistant at Moody Radio. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Mark 11:24 through 25. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. That's Matthew 11:28 through 30. The Moody Radio verse of the week.
one more reason why the ministry of Moody Radio is so important.
This may be the only opportunity somebody might have to hear the gospel. We know that the gospel will change lives, and so that's why it's important. We need changed lives that will follow Christ.
Your gift to Moody Radio helps listeners like this encounter the gospel through clear Bible teaching.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Your family and your money are two very important subjects. That's why in this month's MoneyWise e-magazine, we're giving your family tips and tools to grow closer to God, closer together, and closer to true financial freedom. Get practical advice to strengthen financial communication in your marriage, infuse more budget-friendly family activities into your week, and a lot more. Your free MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywise.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell takes the wraps off his next coronavirus relief bill. That's coming up later today. The funeral for the late civil rights icon and Congressman John Lewis will be held Thursday at Atlanta's historic Ebenezer Baptist Church. Lewis's family has announced that that funeral will be private. His body has arrived in Washington and is now lying in state at the Capitol. Stocks resumed their upward march on Wall Street while the price of gold rushed to a record high at the start of a week packed with potentially market-moving events. This week's headline event may be a two-day meeting for the Federal Reserve on interest rates, and that begins on Tuesday. The Dow gained 114 points today, the NASDAQ up 173, and the S&P 500 ahead 23 points. This is SRN News.
Hey, who are those guys? Well, the program is called MoneyWise Live, and he's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today. So let's begin again by going out to Las Cruces, New Mexico. And Selena, thanks so much for your patience. What can we help you with?
Hi, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I have a property that I owe about $48,000 on it. It's owner financed, and I financed it at 7%. I don't want to take a home equity loan. I don't want to take another mortgage on my house. I was wondering if you have any thoughts on, is there any products out there that might give me a little bit better interest rate, or am I kind of stuck with the 7%?
Yeah. So you said it's owner finance, but you don't want to replace it with a new mortgage. Is that right?
It's not even a mortgage. It's just a piece of property. I just don't want to use my house, to take a mortgage on the house to pay for that.
Okay, so you have a single-family home that you live in, and then you have a separate piece of land that's owner-financed, or what actually is it that that has the mortgage at 7%?
Just the property.
Okay.
It's about a little less than an acre, yeah.
Okay, and it's raw land?
Actually, my daughter lives on it. She's got a double wide.
Okay, all right, so she has a double wide on it. And it's owner finance, so the person that you bought it from actually is holding the note, charging you 7% interest. Now, what about replacing that with a new conventional mortgage that's attached to the property? So the property, instead of being collateralized to the owner that sold it to you, it's collateralized to the lending institution.
I can't take a mortgage on the mobile home, is that what you're saying?
I was thinking the land itself.
Oh, can you do that?
Well, that's what I'm wondering is, so do you own the double wide free and clear?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So you may be able to get a mortgage just attached to the land itself, depending upon what the value is. That obviously it'd have to be appraised. You'd have to have the income to justify it and so forth. But apart from that, you're probably not going to be able to get a new note less than that, because they don't really have significant collateral. And as you said, you don't really want to add this to your primary residence, either in the form of a new mortgage or in the form of a home equity loan on top of an existing mortgage. So I think your next step is to see if you can get a loan where the collateral is only the land underneath that property. Do you know the value of the land itself?
Probably 85.
Okay. So, I mean, it wouldn't be a bad thing if you can find somebody to do it. Obviously, not as easy as a piece of land that has an improved dwelling on it. But certainly you can get a loan, a mortgage, if you will, for raw land. And that's what you'd be looking for. So I'd check with a mortgage broker in your area and you know, even visit at your local bank just to see, or a bank in that area, and see if you know, that's an option where you could get that interest rate down, assuming you have good income and you've got a good credit score. I like the idea of you not adding this to your primary residence. And, you know, if you can, I think that would help you in this environment, interest rate environment, to get the cost down, get the interest rate down. Apart from that, just a personal loan or something that's uncollateralized, you're probably not going to do much better than that 7%. So check that out. If you have any further questions, give us a call back. Selena, we appreciate your call today.
Thanks so much, Selena. We appreciate that. Let's go south a bit to Bradenton, Florida. Hello, Kim. What's on your mind?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. It was so worth the wait. I work for a really, really large retail company. And about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, they informed us that they were eliminating the pension plan throughout the entire company.
Yeah.
And for those, it was kind of shocking, but which is separate from the 401k. They explained that for those of us who have been there for 11 plus years, and I'm one of them, the pension plan will extend for another 3 years. My problem is that I'll have, like, I think I got close to 9,000 in it now. And I don't know what to do with this money. I looked into doing a Roth IRA, and I did a little research on it. But I'm going to be honest, I am clueless as to investment, and I want to be a wise steward on this money.
Sure.
But to make it work for me as well.
Yeah. Well, I certainly understand your situation. You want to be a good steward of this, and we're seeing more and more of these plans being terminated, so it's not uncommon. Did they give you the option, Kim, to roll the pension dollars into the 401k?
I guess I do have that option, but I didn't know if that would be wise.
I actually like that option because it won't create any taxable events, which, by the way, if you roll it to an IRA and then convert it to a Roth, it's all going to be taxable in the year that you do that. So I'd probably be careful about that. But in addition to not creating any taxes, you'll consolidate your retirement accounts. So you just kind of simplify the management of everything because you don't have now two accounts that you're keeping up with, and how is one invested versus the other, and is there any overlap, and what investments do I choose, and all of that. It's all in one place. You can continue to take advantage of the ongoing tax deferral, and then you choose from the investments inside the 401k, which you've probably already done for the current allocation, and you would just have this new $9,000 managed the same way. Now, if you go with an IRA, which is possible, you will have more investment choices because you'll be outside of the 401k, so you can invest in any mutual fund or exchange-traded fund you want. But if you're not sure where to put it, it's $9,000. It's not $100,000. So you couldn't really have somebody manage it for you. That's where I think the simplicity of the 401k is really going to be effective. If you cash it out, I wouldn't do that because it'll be taxable and you'll likely pay a 10% penalty if you're under 59 and a half. And so I think really just seeing this as a continued part of your retirement plan, but just transitioning it over to the 401k is probably the most simple. But I'd obviously check and make sure that's an option. And then, you know, if that is, great. And if not, then you'd roll it to the IRA. And our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could be helpful to you if you go with the IRA in terms of choosing the custodian and even figuring out what's the best mutual funds to use at that point.
Does that make sense, Kim?
It does make sense. But one other question, if the 401k rollover is an option, and I do believe that it is, but if it is an option, is there any penalty that will apply for me to roll it over to them? to that.
I mean, you always want to ask that question, but there shouldn't be. It should just be a transfer right into your current 401k inside the same company, different plan administrator. But it should be a very seamless process where you'd fill out some paperwork, they'd transfer the money in, and you should be okay at that point.
And with that, Kim, we're going to have to say goodbye and wrap it up. We're pretty much out of time, but we're glad that you got through today. Hope that information helps you. Thanks so very, very much. Rob, this is going to be the quickest one ever. A listener wants to know, if every state has a 529 plan, how do I figure out which one I need? Any quick thoughts? Yeah.
Well, I'll just direct you to my favorite website, Steve, for this. It's savingforcollege.com. There's actually a quick little questionnaire you'll fill out with your kids' name, not their names, but their age, and their target amount you're trying to save. It'll actually compare your state versus all the others based on fees, performance, and ratings. Savingforcollege.com.
We're MoneyWise Live, and we talk about our telephone number often, usually because we're live, but today we're pre-recorded. So if you hear a mention of the phone number, please don't call us, but you can find us online at moneywiselive.org.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. Truly, these are the worst of times and the best of times. The loss of life, the destruction of jobs and families, and raging racial tensions around the world have made this time the worst of times. At the same time, millions of people have come to the Lord out of fear and desperation who would not have come to the Lord if these days had not happened. It is, in fact, our human nature that moves us toward God for help in bad times. Whatever country is persecuting Christians the most is always where the church is growing the most. In Iran, of all places, the Bible has risen above all other search destinations and revival is rampant. Here's the thought. If Christians start focusing on the opportunities rather than the problems, we'll have revival. And we'll solve the problems. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
By now, most churches have canceled their Sunday services. People are retreating into their homes, and other than the long lines in the supermarkets, the streets are quiet. How are you handling it all, Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond from ChristianityWorks.com. Call me crazy, but while everyone else is retreating into a shell of self-interest and self-protection, I think that you and I have a huge opportunity. What the world needs right now is for God's people to stand up, to step out with a quiet, calm confidence and share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, when the people you know see the confidence you have, the assurance that you have, the peace that you have in your heart, they're going to want to know where that comes from. So while the rest of the world is panicking, be Christ to them. Love them. Encourage them. Lead them. Tell them about this Jesus who died and rose again for them.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is our final segment of a broadcast we previously recorded. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we hope you'll stick around and enjoy the rest of the program. All right, let's go back to our lines. Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Steve. Nice to have you with us today, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, a friend of mine passed away. His wife shared with me that immediately after his death, their credit card was shut off, and she therefore had no access to be able to use the credit card. And when she called the company, it was apparently going to take a couple of months for all the paperwork to go through, which you, where she could finally get access. I find my wife and I in the same situation where when I pass away, that credit card is going to be cut off in my name. I am the primary signatory to it.
Yeah.
And she is a secondary signatory to it, but I'm responsible for the card. Well, my wife, since we only have one card, all the credit is going to me. Our good credit is going to myself, and if I die, she has to apparently apply for a new card, and she has no credit.
Well, Steve, a couple of thoughts here. First of all, I'm sorry to hear about your friend's passing. What you're putting your finger on here is a real issue, and it happens more than you might think, where at the spouse's death, getting your credit card rejected days later because you've been widowed becomes a real challenge. It's not a rare occurrence. You know, the easiest way to address this, Steve, is to get a joint card. This would be from an issuer that permits joint owners of an account. There are some banks that still do these, although they are more rare. More often you'd see a cosigner or an authorized user in a secondary position, but there are still some banks. At last check, and you'd have to make sure this is still the case, at last check, Bank of America, U.S. Bank, and Fidelity were among the issuers of joint accounts, where when one passes away, the other is considered then the primary owner moving forward. If you decide, however, to stay with a card that does not offer that because you like the benefits or whatever other reason, then you would have to recognize that there would be a disruption. Often the widow who has been an authorized user would have to apply for a new card because that one would be canceled, and that does create some disruptions. The other thing to do there is to also make sure that each of you have a primary card in your name, even though you may be authorized users on each other's. Again, if you don't go down the road of a joint account, and that way there is no disruption while things are sorted out. I think with regard, Steve, to the credit issue, in most cases, and you'll want to verify this with your particular issuer, in most cases, the authorized user has the information reported to their report, even though they're not the primary account holder, good or bad. And so generally speaking, you should be able to build credit as an authorized user. But again, you'd want to ask that question and find out if your issuer is reporting. But I think going down this route of either making sure you each have primary cards and then splitting up your usage between the two, or finding one of those issuers who will still offer a joint credit card would be your best options. But tell me your thoughts. Do you have further questions?
No, that sums it up. The recommendation of your three financial institutions, that is quite helpful. And I'm with Citibank, and that is their policy. Someone dies, the card is cut, and that's the end of it. And then she has to apply for her own credit card with them or someone else.
Okay.
And so, but we have excellent credit, but me being the primary would leave her in a real bind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, very good. I think this will give you a good track to run on. We appreciate you listening, and thanks for calling today. Lord bless you.
Thanks, Steve. God bless. Sounds like he may have had a puppy in the background there who was on his chew toy or something.
Puppies
that was me.
Love
was that
chew
me?
Toys.
Was
that, yeah.
Is that
you,
something
did
I did?
Did you bring
here?
Your rubber duck to work? Or
Lake Worth, Florida. Barbara, any cats, dogs, or sheep around your feet today making noise?
No, just lots of birds in the yard.
Birds in the yard. There you go.
Barbara, this is the point in the program that we have to acknowledge. Steve Moore is a birder.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that? He actually is quite accomplished in birding. Is that a word, Steve, birding?
Well,
and that
I'd wish he'd come and
tell you what's in your front yard?
No, I said I wish he'd come and chase all the blackbirds away because I like the pretty birds, you know, but the blackbirds are taking over.
Yeah,
if she puts
are,
the phone out the window, Steve, you could probably tell us what's going on there, couldn't you? I would imagine.
I probably could. I don't think we have time for that, but to be real honest with you, I probably could. And that and a quarter will get you a cup of coffee. You know, that's what that's worth. Hey, Barb, what's on your mind today?
Okay, so I have a 19-year-old grandson who graduated from high school last year. And he said, Grandma, how do I establish credit? So I said, well, you have to, unfortunately, have credit before you establish credit. So someone recommended him getting prepaid cards, a prepaid credit card. We thought that was a good idea, and we were going to look into that. Well, meanwhile, today, he received something from Brink's prepaid MasterCard.
Okay.
But I don't like the way it looks. And I asked him, I said, did you apply for this? And he said, no. So have you ever heard of it?
Well, I haven't. I'm familiar with Brinks. I'm not exactly sure what you have there. What I will tell you is often these credit card solicitations that you'll receive in the mail look as if it's something you've asked for, and perhaps it's nothing more than an attempt to get you to return the information and then in doing so to open an account. But what I would prefer you do, unless it says you have an account number and you know this is actually an open account and then you need to deal with it. If it's just a solicitation, I'd probably just tear it up. But what you'd want to do in terms of building credit is not go down the road of a prepaid card. You'd want to go down the road of what's called a secured card. And they are different. A prepaid card is something you could buy at a store, give as a gift. It has a limit, of course, based on the amount that you put on the card. But it's essentially anonymous. Therefore, it's not reported to the credit bureau and therefore won't raise your credit score. A secured credit card, on the other hand, would be opened with an issuer who's typically a bank. You could go to your own bank where you have a checking account, ask them to open, or for the benefit of your son, to open a secured credit card. He would put in an amount on deposit where that is what the card is secured by. So let's say, for example, you put $300 on deposit. That money would be available to the credit card for purchases. I would teach him to use it only for budgeted items, which assumes he has a budget. If he doesn't, that's the starting place. And then to pay it off every month. Well, what that does is two things. Number one is the secured card doesn't allow him to charge beyond what's available on deposit at the bank, so he can't get into problems. Secondly, that secured card, as opposed to the prepaid card, will be reported to the credit bureau, and that will begin to build his credit. So I think that's what you're looking for here, Barbara, is go down to the bank, ask about a secured card, make sure it's in his name, and I think that'll do what you're looking for.
Okay, you wouldn't suggest that I get a card, because I have very good credit. I have excellent credit. He's my grandson, not my son.
Okay.
That I get a card and then put him on as secondary.
I'd rather you,
know, you
not. I'd rather you not, just because he would have the ability to go out and use that and charge it, and you're on the hook for it. And I realize you probably can trust him, and I don't know him, and certainly you would have a better feel for that. But I think given what we know about the principles in God's Word, I'd rather see you have him take this on himself and go the secured card route and not just get attached to your account, which can create problems and even strain the relationship if there was an issue down the road.
That sounds good. Could I ask you one more quick question?
We have just a moment. Go right ahead.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions for an auto insurance company for a 19-year-old male?
You know what? If you hold the line, we'll try to help you with that. Don't want to mention necessarily names on the air, but I know that can be a real challenge, and you want to try to keep the expenses as low as possible. So thanks for your call today. Hang on the line, and we'll get to more here in just a moment.
Yeah. And typically, Rob, if we're really concerned about expense, and with a 19-year-old male, we should be, they would go on their parents' insurance. It doesn't have to be the way it is, but that's typically the easiest and best way. Don't you agree?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Particularly if there's, money is a concern, and normally it always is. But, Barbara, you sound like a wonderful grandma, and good luck with those blackbirds. God made them as well. I'm not sure why, but he did, and we appreciate your call today.
I just wish they would need all the bird seed.
I know.
Okay, God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, you're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today. But before we go, let's talk about money and marriage. And that happens to be the title of a book that we absolutely love, Money and Marriage, God's Way, written by our good friend Howard Dayton, the founder of Compass. Money and marriage is something that we all need to consider if we're getting married or if we're already married, because money can play havoc with a relationship. So this book will really help you if you're struggling with the two of you having slightly different temperaments. Maybe you have spiritual and family differences. Maybe you're struggling paying off debt. Don't know quite how to live on a budget or a spending plan. Maybe you have questions about buying that first home, conflict resolution, setting goals, and much, much more. You'll find biblical help for all of this and practical help as well. Money and Marriage, God's Way. You'll find it when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time.